To hear people who know marijuana tell the story, there's no better place to grow cannabis in the world than California's North Coast, the legendary Emerald Triangle. The world has changed, at least in regulation. What was a black market crop can now come into the legal daylight now that cannabis is legal for personal use in both California and Oregon. As has been reported numerous times, that's forced local governments to come up with rules, which Humboldt County did for cannabis as agriculture on rural land. And an environmental group filed suit in early June. Friends of the Eel River says the county's environmental protections did not go far enough. Scott Greeson is the conservation director at Friends of the Eel River and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's come back to square one and just tell us about the river and the group's formation and mission to protect it.
Sure. Our purpose is basically to protect and restore the Eel River, which a lot of folks don't actually know, despite the fact that it's a pretty significant river. It's about 3,700 square miles, flows like many of our North Coast California rivers from south to north, which is a little weird, but enters the Pacific just south of Humboldt Bay. The river's was once in pre-contact days probably home to about 1 million salmon and steelhead in an average year. It's been heavily affected first by intensive industrial fishing for canneries, then by the waves of exploitation that really came to focus in the boom of old-growth logging in the middle and second half of the 20th century. But our big concern right now with respect to marijuana production is that we're driving coho salmon and steelhead that have been very seriously affected by logging and road building actually extinct now.
What is the, first of all, the river itself does have protections as wild and scenic under both state and federal law, is that right?
That's correct. But what those protections mean basically is that you can't build big dams on the river.
And that's about the limit of the protections?
Pretty much.
All right. So then what kinds of protections do the coho and the steelhead have? I mean, are they listed under any protection, state or federal?
And steelhead are both listed as threatened species under the Federal Endangered Species Act. Coho are also listed under the California Endangered Species Act as threatened in this region. And that means there are fairly serious prohibitions on fishing for the fish. What it doesn't mean on the ground is that there are federal agencies actually out there protecting their habitat. And that really falls to local government, unfortunately. It's a land use question. And that's why we're so concerned about Humboldt County's commercial cannabis land use ordinance, because we're worried basically that it will allow too much growing related development activity in places that are already heavily affected by growing related development from the black market industry.
Do you see any evidence thus far, before we even get to the specifics of the regulations, do you see any evidence that the black market is subsiding or coming into the daylight, or is it still a thriving entity by itself? I know it's hard because it's a black market to perhaps know these things, but I just wonder what the general sense is.
There's evidence in all directions, to be candid. I mean, as you've seen in Oregon, no doubt, overproduction is not just, it's an economic fact that affects this industry across the country. So the falling prices that so many cultivators have seen in Oregon are also a big factor here. There's a strange way in which falling prices over the last decade or so, gradually falling prices, have given growers an incentive to actually increase the amount they're growing just to try to stay even. Yeah, there's evidence that some people are dropping out of the black market. There's also evidence that other people are getting bigger. But it remains a pretty significant component of what we're seeing on the landscape, certainly in Humboldt County.
Scott Greeson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the conservation director for Friends of the Eel River, which filed a lawsuit in early June against Humboldt County for its commercial cannabis land use ordinance. You can join the conversation on the exchange by phone at 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I want to do some apples-to-apples comparisons, if that's possible, and just give us a sense of the kinds of impacts that existed on the Eel River before marijuana was legal. I mean, the kinds of things that were happening to the river in terms of water withdrawals and things that ended up in the water because of cannabis production.
Yeah, basically when we're talking about the watershed impacts, the impacts on fisheries and fish habitat and things that need our rivers and streams especially, the biggest overall impact by far is sediment production, is too much dirt getting off of the hills because of road building, basically bad road maintenance and design, a lot of excessive grading to create places to grow. That's probably 90% of our problems overall. Probably 9% is water withdrawals, which is to say people taking water out of streams. And obviously that's a very severe impact in any particular place. You could liken it to a heart attack, and it's acute effect. Sediment, on the other hand, is more like cancer. It's a chronic effect, harder to clean up, and it'll kill you just as dead as a heart attack. The 1% is what a lot of people focus on, especially in the sort of the larger context of trespass grows on public lands. That's the question of the toxicants, the pesticides, and even the fertilizers that can get out of these operations and into our watersheds. That's a very severe problem where it exists, but the big picture, it's mostly about sediment and to a lesser extent about water withdrawals.
Huh. So less about the practices once the place is in than just getting to have a place where there's going to be pot growing.
But it's also how operations are used. So it's, you can have a lot of sediment production from a place that's not set up well. Mm-hmm. So the question of how much road have you got, how close to a stream, what's the condition and maintenance of that road, and above all, what are the stream crossings? What do those look like? And you've got the context here is extremely important. What we're talking about, especially in the South Fork of the Eel River, is first a landscape that's incredibly erosive. It's held in place by trees, basically. But once you take the trees off the land, the combination of steepness and the inherent fragility of the soils plus massive rainfall means you get a lot of stuff coming off the land as soon as you've got any disturbance. So that plus the fact that the vast majority of the private land grow operations work off of road networks that were created in the 40s, 50s, and 60s for timber operations that we would never allow today, but that have just been kept in place and upgraded as much as is necessary to get to the site, means we've got a really big problem across the landscape from these road systems.
So then to the county process, the overhaul or the writing of a commercial land use ordinance that would include cannabis was not a short or easy process, I gather. I mean, I'm looking at the EIR, which ran to like 550 pages or so, didn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, the county has done, I think, a great deal to its credit to try to create rules that will significantly improve practices across the board, and there's a lot to be said for what they've done. Our big problem is that the county has not yet, because it's very difficult, figured out what the impacts of the existing industry already are and what we need to do in order to get places like, for example, Redwood Creek and Salmon Creek and Sproul Creek, places that are extremely important to our coho and steelhead on the South Fork of the Eel, to the place where they can actually support those fish in the future. Our sense right now is that at one end of the three watersheds I just rattled off, Salmon Creek, we haven't had salmon in 20 years because the impacts have completely overwhelmed the watershed. In Redwood Creek, we're losing them right now. We've got to back off. We've got to reduce the impacts on the landscape. So we're concerned that the county has not put together a package that effectively reduces the impacts from both the legal and the illegal impacts. And the county's response to us has essentially been, we're not responsible for the impacts of the illegal industry. That's the status quo. That's the background. We're improving things every time we give somebody a permit. And we don't think that's good enough.
We're talking again with Scott Greason, the conservation director for Friends of the Eel River, about the group's lawsuit against Humboldt County for the commercial cannabis land use ordinance, which it finds deficient in reasons you just heard about. You can join the conversation on the exchange, put in your thoughts, your questions, your comments about marijuana cultivation generally, or more specific to Humboldt County, 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like it really gets down to, I was noticing that it seems like a lot of concentration in the county's paperwork about numbers of permits issued. Is it really that simple, Scott, that you just want fewer permits issued so that there'll be less going on out there, or is it more complicated than that?
It's always more complicated than that, but you've got to find the tools that will work, and one of the key decisions the county has made in approving this ordinance is how many permits will it issue where. And when the County Board of Supervisors took up this proposed ordinance at its final approval, they decided that the number of permits that the county planning staff had proposed to offer weren't enough, and they would raise that number. So they just made a decision that they'd go to 3,500 permits instead of 3,000. And there's no real rationale for that decision at all. It's just a political decision that they wanted to issue more permits.
Let me ask about the questions of like what the county's enforcement staff is and what the capability of the county would be to more rigorously enforce rules against illegal marijuana grows.
Not very many. I mean, that is one of our core concerns, is that certainly over the last couple of generations, Humboldt County has notoriously been a place where zoning rules and building rules are observed in the breach and, you know, are generally not enforced at all. And there's I have to say, a sort of reckless and ungrounded libertarianism afoot across the region that really believes that nobody has, neither the county nor the state nor the feds, have any right to tell you what to do with your land and your water. And so there's a real challenge to enforcement. And when you look at the number of boots on the ground the county has, which has varied from a couple of pairs to now we're getting up to maybe a half dozen. It's not a very big number compared to the number of operations that are out there, which is reasonably guesstimated right now at maybe 15,000 outdoor operations alone, leaving aside the question of how many indoor grows there are.
I wanted to point out that Humboldt County officials have so far not been saying much about the lawsuit. The chair of the Board of Supervisors did say publicly, Humboldt County has been diligent in protecting water and our cannabis programs make the environment better. For instance, we have policies that forbear water withdrawal in the summer months and require water storage. Does that square with your feelings about the whole situation?
Well, those are true statements. It's also worth pointing out that that gentleman, Ryan Sundberg, just lost his re-election bid to a challenger who has vigorously challenged Mr. Sundberg's relationship with the cannabis industry. So I want to go back to a point you made right at the beginning, mm-hmm. which is the claim that's, of course, been made very widely that Humboldt County is one of the best places in the world to grow pot. It's not. It's a great place to hide.
There's a difference. So it's not so much the cultivation advantages as the non-getting caught advantages.
Right. And so when, I mean, the bald facts of the cultivation techniques that have prevailed across Humboldt County and indeed the entire north coast of California for the last couple of decades are that people bring soil to the site, often in dump trucks today, and they often truck water to their sites. So if you have to haul your soil and your water to the site, I think it's very, very hard to make a claim that that's a place that's ecologically appropriate for that kind of agriculture, if you want to call this agriculture. The questions of watershed impacts, of how we are going to hold on to fish that evolved in these creeks that have been here for millions of years, you know, these are very, very resilient animals. The fact that we're wiping them out means that we have pushed way too far in these watersheds. That just underscores to me the question of sustainability that's at issue here.
So is this really a case, you think, Scott Greeson, for the county to make a stand and say, hey, look, we're going to change. Humboldt County's not going to be like it was in the past.
Well, of course, there are basically cross-cutting incentives here. The county has every reason to want to keep in place an industry that has provided the bulk of its income for decades. The fact that it's illegal income doesn't matter to the grocery stores and the gas stations, or indeed to the county's budget. So, you know, the county is trying to hang on to as much of a weed industry as it can, and it's not in any tremendous hurry, from our perspective, to get rid of the black market, because to do so would lead to even more economic distress than we're already seeing. But the bald facts of California's new legal market, as I'm sure, you know, perceptive folks in Oregon are picking up on from your own experience with overproduction, are that we are growing way too much pot already in California if you're just measuring it against the state-level domestic market that legal pot supply is supposed to supply. It looks like Humboldt County alone, with the permits we've already issued, could probably produce half the weed that California is expected to buy. And there are, you know, 56 other counties in California, and many of which want to get in on the action, many of which have also permitted enough operations to grow half or more of that domestic supply. So there's a real question of what's the economic sustainability of this industry. And our best guess is that where the county is proposing to issue 3,500 permits to commercial cultivators, we're likely to see maybe 300, maybe 400 of those actually wind up being viable in the long run.
All right. We will see what happens with the lawsuit down the road filed on June 6th by Friends of the Eel River, for which Scott Greeson is the conservation director. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.